Sheena Reagan is a realtor in Southwest Florida. She's also a very funny person. In fact, in 2018, she was named Florida's funniest female in a statewide competition of female comics. So, not surprisingly, she's found a way to weave an appropriate amount of humor into her business dealings. On today's show, we talk to Sheena about what it's been like to work in a sometimes challenging real estate market and how she's kept up her comedy throughout it all. You can hear what she had to say starting right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sanville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. This is the show where we talk about all things real estate. We talk about every single aspect of it that we can think of. We talk about it mainly from the perspective of the realtor, the real estate professional, but certainly there's lots of overlapping information that will be of use and interest to home buyers, home sellers. In fact, anyone who lives in a home, if you live in a house, you might pick up something you want to know about here. So you're in the right place. I am your host, Jim Sanville. I'm here today, as usual, with Jerry Johnson. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jim. Good morning.
How is everything?
Everything is going good. Busy day here at the association.
It is a busy day. We got an event going on across the parking lot. What is that, Jerry?
It is International Day.
Yeah.
International Day.
Yeah. Speaking of international, you know, I happened to check the statistics on our podcast today, the Royal Palmcast. And I noticed that since we started this in August 2019, we have been downloaded on 4 continents, 28 countries, 417 cities.
Wow.
All around the world.
Wow.
The only continents we don't have is 2 of them. We're not in Antarctica, sadly.
No, we got to work on that.
We are working on it. We've got to take care of the penguin people. Uh-huh. And Oceania. I wasn't even sure what Oceania meant, but do you know what Oceania is?
No.
It's Australia, New Zealand.
And when they started changing the configuration of what they consider continents.
When Pluto became a non-planet, I lost track of
exactly
what they call everything.
Yeah. Well, you know why we have such exposure, Jim?
Why is that?
Because of our amazing guests and the content they provide.
That's definitely one reason. That's definitely one reason. In fact, today is a very special day for us here on the Royal Palmcast because we have in the studio the person who was our very first guest.
That was awesome.
Was I the first guest?
You were the first guest.
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
You were
wow.
The first
okay.
guest.
She helped launch us off into the stratosphere.
About 100 episodes later, you are back, and we're so excited to have you 2.5+ years later.
We're back.
Welcome.
What's up, guys?
Sheena Reagan. Sheena.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. Good to see you.
My pleasure. I'm so glad I ran into you the other day.
Yeah. I ran into Sheena over at the Education Center across the parking lot. And we said we should do this again because the world has changed since you were first here.
Very much so.
And you've grown as a person, a realtor, and a comedian, which you also are. So I want to hear all about it and see what's going on out there in the real world since all this craziness began a year or two ago. And it has been an interesting time, to be sure. We're going to talk today to Sheena about mainly her real estate career, but we also definitely want to touch on comedy. So let's jump right into it. Sheena, you have been in real estate since 2017. You started selling, is that right?
That's when I started in sales. I actually started in the real estate industry in 2011. I worked for Ned Hale, actually, who teaches some of the contract classes. I was his paralegal, and he also had a title company at the time. And so we did that. We did real estate law and title insurance. Mm. And then I went on to work for Fidelity National Title for just a couple of short years. Yeah. And then went into sales.
Yeah, it's funny. Ned Hale was sitting in that seat just a couple of weeks ago.
Was he? He's such a wealth of knowledge. I learned so much from Ned. I am eternally grateful for my time having worked with him.
Yeah, he's good. He's a very good podcast guest, very knowledgeable local real estate attorney. And you two actually have something in common that you may not know about. You two are the most popular guests we've ever had on the show.
Are we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You see, maybe I should just go back and work for Ned.
Can you imagine the dynamo that would produce? Wow.
Probably so. We did really well when I worked there, and I loved it, but I definitely belong in sales.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Bob, before I get your take on the current market and how things have gone in the last 2 years, give the listeners just a little bit of a thumbnail sketch about your career. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually born and raised Cape Coral.
Mm-hmm.
So been here my whole life, watched it grow. It's kind of incredible to see just how much it's grown over the years. We have about $1 billion worth of commercial industry coming here over the next few years, which I saw at the Catch the Vision event. Mm-hmm. There's probably 15 different projects that are going on, yeah. And it's just, it's mind-blowing because yeah. It used to be, you know, Pine Island Road was all woods. There was no yeah. Target. There was no Bed Bath & Beyond or anything like that. I remember when Steak and Shake was built. That was one of my first jobs. I worked there as a waitress before it was all spooky and gross in there. It was actually like a really nice place to have dinner. But yeah.
Yeah, cool. Do you know what you could buy in Cape Coral for $678,000 in 1958?
Probably the like whole south end of Cape Coral.
No, that's not correct. You could buy all of Cape Coral.
All of Cape Coral.
102, I think, square miles of area that was all woods. They used to refer to it as the other side of the river, the mysterious part. The Rosen brothers came down from Baltimore and threw down $0.67 million and owned it all. And
that
developed
is
it.
Wild. Yeah. You know what you can get for $0.67 million now? Nothing, Jim.
Nothing.
Zero listings.
Waterfront, no.
No. Oh, geez.
Not happening.
Mom, I'm mostly joking. Yeah, for around that price, you know, we could find you a dilapidated shack on the water. Am I even allowed to say that? I'm going to lose my license in here.
No, but you may sell a shack or two. People are desperate these days for housing. It's crazy.
You have no idea.
Oh, I want to know more about it, though. Tell me about, how's it gone in the last 2 years? You were not just starting out, but you had a little experience when we talked last.
Yeah, it was, well, I had a little bit of a rough start. Like your first year, everybody wants to give you a chance. Your friends and family are going to help you out. So you have a little bit of a pop your first year. My second year was poverty levels. Just, I think I sold two houses all year in 2019. It was rough. And then 2020 came and we weren't sure really what was going to happen once everything locked down for those 2 weeks that eventually turned into a little more than 2 weeks. We had people calling from the airport just, hey, this is Judy from Wisconsin. I'm here to buy a house. We're like, Judy, how did you get here? You're not supposed to be out of the house, Judy. Why are you in an airport? But come on. And people, it was amazing. We didn't, I mean, at my brokerage, we didn't have to advertise. We didn't have to prospect. It was just, we had more business than we could put our hands on. I think I was sold 23 sides of the transaction in 2020.
Wow.
So, and it was still in the days where you could negotiate a contract, you could go a little below asking. There wasn't an all-out war for every property, but you had to move quickly. 2021 has just been a blood sport. It's
in a good way for you, I hope.
Well, not really, Jim.
No. Tell me.
Well, so here's the thing. There's some agents that list and represent buyers. The arrangement with my broker is that I'm mostly a buyer's agent. I can bring in listings for the team and that sort of thing, but I'm mostly a buyer's agent. So every single contract I write is a war. You know what I mean? I had one contract I wrote up for these people. We went 20,000 over asking. We had a super short inspection window. And we, of course, kept the appraisal contingency in there because they were getting a loan. And I called to follow up on the offer, and the agent just sounded disoriented. She's like, who is this? I was like, this is Sheena Reagan. I put an offer in yesterday. She's like, I have 37 offers. I'm still printing them. I was like, oh, my God. Okay. Thank you.
Bring cash.
Wow.
Yeah, like a suitcase full of cash. Like everything is just.
Send lawyers, guns, and money.
Exactly. No cops.
Wow.
No cops.
Wow. So things are still nuts.
Oh, it's crazy out there. I think they're leveling off a little bit. I just had to negotiate a contract the other day. It was sitting on the market for 21 days, which in this market is like it being there for 10 years, right? So people are like, what's wrong with this thing? It must be haunted or it's about to fall down. And it's like, oh, I think it's just a little overpriced. So we ran the comps. We put in an offer and excuse me, they countered. And I was like, oh, they countered. They didn't just say no and burn the contract on the stoop. They countered. And I was like, all right, put your game face on. Don't look desperate. Be strong. Go back in there. And we ended up, you know, going back and forth a couple times, which was nostalgic almost. And so that was fun. But we got the deal. We had the inspection this morning. I think it's going to go. So
nice.
So are you doing virtual showings or not so much?
Tons of virtual showings. I mean, all the other 49 states are kind of moving here right now.
Yeah.
So people, they're like, we're going to fly in this weekend and see houses. And honestly, knowing that there's 10, 20, 30 offers on every property, just save your plane ticket money for when we actually get the house and you want to come for the inspection or something. So I'll do detailed videos, FaceTime, you know, virtual tours, whatever I can do to kind of just save them $500 plane tickets back and forth for no reason.
Wow. It was fun to listen to your war stories there, but it's not funny if you're a first-time home buyer. You know, you're out of college, you get your career established, you're looking to buy your first place. What's it like for that crowd?
You know, I feel bad for the first-time home buyers. I have a handful of friends who are finally breaking into their careers and finally making a salary where they can afford a house, which, let me just kind of touch on why millennials are the way they are, because I think we got a bad rap for a long time, and now that we're in our 30s, maybe people will like understand kind of what we went through. I graduated high school in 2006, the last time things were this crazy, right? Mm. And then what happened 2 years later in 2008, everything came tumbling down. So we were freshly adults. We couldn't even legally have a beer yet before the whole world is crashing around us. There's no jobs. Our parents were losing their jobs. A lot of us did have to move home just to have a place to live, you know what I mean, and kind of help our parents out, that sort of thing. We worked part-time jobs through the longest recession definitely in my lifetime. And then things finally start turning around when we're well into our 20s. And now we're competing with a whole new generation who are fresh out of college, never, you know, scraped their knees on rock bottom like we did. And we're kind of fighting them for jobs. So finally, we're in our 30s. We can afford houses. And then, boom, this all happens again, right? Mm-hmm. So it's tough. And it's, oh God, I hope it's not a violation of my license to say this. It's just not even their time right now. Mm. If it were me, I bought my first house a number of years ago in 2014. And I would really suggest that first-time homebuyers just save your money. Get lots of money for your down payment together. Work on your credit. Find out what your credit score is. Find out where the dings are. And get that credit score as high as you can, because there's no negotiating closing costs right now. There's no really coming down on price too far. And you're buying at a high. So if you're going to stay in it, you want to be able to build equity. You want to be able to get your money out of it if you outgrow the house. So my advice to first-time homebuyers, just hang in there, stash away money, work on your credit, and just don't lose hope. Because we can do it. I just wouldn't suggest doing it right now.
Yeah, I remember having that same feeling when I was 18. I thought, oh, the inflation, and there's 21% interest rates, believe it or not. I thought, I'll never be able to buy a house. It's not going to be possible. But sure enough, I've bought several since then.
Right, and not at a 21% interest rate. Now that's unheard of.
Yeah, what, 3 or so percent, right?
One of my buyers just locked in at 2.25.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
And see, that's the beauty of good credit, too. People don't understand. It's not just about, we can do it with the 642 or the 645. But man, if you can get that into the high sevens, it's going to pay. It's going to pay you in time.
Yeah, of course, lower interest rates tend to mean higher home prices. You can afford more home with lower interest rates. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, we were just in the sweet spot in 2020. That was another thing, is that there was still inventory. Home prices were relatively low, and so were interest rates. So the people who bought in the beginning of 2020 kind of made out like bandits. Mm. I actually have a couple people. There's probably two or three of them. They text me at least every other month, Sheena, we just want to thank you again for getting us this house. We love this house. We have so much equity in it. We just refi and put some money in our pocket. And I love to hear that. The last thing I want to hear is, Sheena, Can we move into your garage because we can't afford this house anymore? The FEMA rates just went up. Our interest is killing us, and we can't get our money out of this house.
Yeah. Well, as high as prices have gone here, and I think it's like 22% year over year we've seen in Lee County, the folks who are moving down from the Northeast in particular, New York, we get a lot of New Yorkers down here. To them, it's like a bargain down here, right?
It's pennies on the dollar. Look at what you pay for. You're from Maine. Are you from New York, Jerry?
I'm Floridian.
Oh, you're a Floridian. Yeah. Okay. All right. Misjudge the entire crowd here.
Tough crowd.
Read the room. But yeah, I've met tons of New Yorkers who, A, they're sick of their politics up there, and we're just like a completely different feel down here. And also, for what their money buys, they're like, we can have grass and water and floors and space and all these things because they're used to living in these, you know, I can't even imagine what a condo in Manhattan costs compared to a house in Cape Coral.
Yeah, office space is going to be a little bit of a bargain up there, but not sure about residential properties. Hey, we're up against a quick break here, so we're going to be right back after this very brief message.
Hi, I'm Jason Jakis, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Johnson with Goodwill Industries of Southwest Florida, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
This is Jim Sandville, and you're listening to The Royal Palmcast.
Do you know a student who could use help with college tuition? Well, if you're a realtor and you have children, this may be for you. The Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has announced the creation of the Kevin Williamson Scholarship Program for sons and daughters of realtors who are pursuing higher education. To qualify, students must be Florida residents and have at least one parent who's a realtor. Scholarships start at $1,000, and applicants are judged based on extracurricular activities, financial need, and other criteria. This program is named in memory of our late president-elect, Kevin Williamson, who was well-known in the community for his generous support of those in need. For eligibility and criteria information, visit the rpcra.org website. Click on the magnifying glass search icon, type in scholarship, and press enter. Then click on scholarship from results. We wish the best of luck to all. We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
We are back on the Royal Palmcast, talking today with our guest, Sheena Reagan. And by the way, I didn't mention before, Jerry, as I always do, we're coming to you from the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida, right, where it's almost always beautiful and sunny.
271 days a year we average.
Is that the number?
It is. 271 sunny days in Southwest Florida, typically in an average year.
Do you know what the weather's like, very likely, in my hometown of Portland, Maine, on a day like this in November?
Frozen tundra.
Cold.
It's not necessarily frozen. It's rainy, clammy, we'd call it, and cold and damp. And
clammy is
dark.
Never a good feeling.
No, it's it needs some Lysol or something. Yeah, I don't know.
I had some people move. I just sold them a house. They're down here from Connecticut. And I remember the last time I was in Connecticut, it felt like the sun was behind a sheet. Like the sun didn't really shine.
Yeah.
It just made a very half appearance.
You couldn't even get a shadow out of it, right?
No.
Yeah. Boy, I know that feeling. And that's why I live in beautiful, sunny Florida right now.
That's why a lot of our northern neighbors like to come down here
and
purchase real estate.
True. Yeah, no.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people from all over the world. A lot of Germans live here, Canadians, of course, people from Brazil. And I once asked a German person I know in the business, why do so many Germans come to Cape Coral? And she said, have you been to Germany in the winter? Same reason you're here. Yep. Same reason you are here. So I totally get it. As I mentioned, we're talking with Sheena Reagan. She is a realtor, and you're with Old Glory Realty, is that correct?
Yes.
The Mike Lombardo team?
Mike Lombardo team.
Yay, Mike Lowe. And you've been there for, what, 2 years, right?
You know, I'm not sure. Was I with that brokerage when I did this pump?
Let me check your dossier.
I don't think so.
No, you were with
Mylof Aubuchon, right?
Yeah.
So
okay, so that's new since we saw you last.
Yes.
Yeah, and as we alluded to, you are a comedian. It's kind of a side hustle, right? Or would you consider it an equal full-time-ish job?
You know, when I first went into sales, my intention was to be a full-time comic and a part-time realtor, and they often flip-flop. But I would say I definitely do full-time real estate and more part-time stand-up. We were hit pretty hard during the pandemic.
Yeah. So, what was that like, being a comedian during a pandemic?
You know, well, first of all, everything shut down, right? It was like, I see videos on my page where there could only be 9 of us in the building, and we're like locking the doors. We're like, number 10, you have to go home. And we would do audience-less shows just on live stream, just to like try not to get rusty. But it was awful, and it was grueling, and we were getting depressed from not performing. A lot of our big gigs got taken away from us. Like, I was supposed to be at Atlantis in the Bahamas for 2 weeks that summer, and it got yanked. And some of our, it'll be 10 years next year that I've been doing this. So things finally started to come to head, and then they all get taken off. And then when the audiences did come back, everybody's traumatized, so it was like tickling angry people.
Just
you were doing the thing, but it just, there was some kind of like social discord,
some anxiety
and we're finally getting them back. I think, you know, people are ready to laugh again. People are, I guess, either numb to it or past it or whatever it may be, but things are better this year. But you know, it's still rebuilding.
Where are people at with social customs like shaking hands? Do they do that these days in your world?
You know, we've almost completely stopped shaking hands.
Really?
I used to be so proud of my handshake.
Heck of a grip, recall. Yeah.
That was a sign of professionalism and
confidence.
Exactly. Yeah. And now I remember the day I stopped even trying to shake hands. I had some people here from, oh goodness, where were they from? Something very southern, like Mississippi or something out there. And it was a $1 million property. And they walked in and I went to shake their hand. She goes, we don't do that. We're not ready to do that yet. And I was like, whoa. I did not think I could offend somebody without saying any words.
How dare
and
you?
I just did it. Yeah. So I just, I just don't even try anymore.
Later told her friend she tried to shake my hand. Bless her heart.
Exactly.
And didn't work out well. That's a tough thing. If you're a comedian, it's a touchy-feely, in-your-face kind of gig, right?
So, well, sharing microphones, and we love to shake hands after the show and take pictures with people. Yeah. And now I feel like somebody sneezed last night at trivia, and I felt like I just went through a cobweb. And I was just like, oh God, is it on me? And just, you know, how we even react to people coughing, sneezing, sitting close to you. If people even walk too close to me, I'm thinking, how reckless are you? Yeah. Why are you so close to my face? Mm. And I think we just have to kind of untrain our minds about being so freaked out about human connection and that sort of thing. But I think that was one of the fallouts of the pandemic was, now social activity offends us, right? Mm.
A lot of things.
Jerry, you could not be more correct. And being a comedian has never been scarier.
I feel for you. I feel for comedians all the time when I see you on TV. It's like, you got to be careful what you joke about.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to live.
I was at trivia last night. I do trivia on Wednesday nights at Palm City Brewing. A lot of fun. I learned so much doing that. And it's just a good way to stay on the mic, and everybody has a great time. And one of the categories, it was a wild card, and it was slang. And it was like British. It was like a brawly, or a, what was it?
Bob's your uncle.
A brawly is referred to in England. Umbrella. And what is it in the United States? It turns out it's an umbrella. But when I said the category was slang, somebody was like, oh, be careful, don't get canceled. And I'm like, can't even say the word slang. I was like, am I allowed to say slang?
You'll never work in this town again. I vow. Wow.
Plus, everything's on video, right? So there's just like video evidence of everything now. And God forbid that doesn't age well.
What could go wrong, huh?
I'm paranoid about this podcast right now. I'm worried I'm going to be camping today.
Well, you're looking at the editor, so it's
there you go.
Yeah. By the way, let the record show there was a plexiglass partition between Sheena and I.
That's right. Nobody shook hands coming in here. No. We're not even looking each other in the eye.
Yeah. There were thoughts of a fist bump, but no, even that didn't materialize. Yeah,
we have mirrors all over the place. So.
But we'll disinfect you thoroughly before you leave the studio. So
spray it down.
Yeah, you won't get any bad things on you. Sheena, you once said, if I'm not mistaken, and I may well
here be. Here we go. This is where we get canceled.
This is the gotcha. You said comedy is a healing gift. Tell me about that.
Did I say that?
That's so profound.
It's so true. I was just thinking the other day how it's amazing on the worst days, like days where everything just burns. And the last thing you want to do is get up in front of people and say something. But when you force yourself to do it, you just come out on the other side feeling so relieved. Or even just other people telling you, oh, I really need to laugh today. Yeah, that's healing for us too. Comedians are very damaged people, and we tend to value ourselves as others value us. So if we're able to make other people laugh or brighten your day, it's just transitive. It brightens our day as well.
Yeah, I heard a wise woman once say that comics are broken people. I think that was you, but as you just paraphrased.
It's so true.
But, yeah, what's wrong with you?
Oh, that's a whole other podcast, Jim.
All right, we'll do a second episode right after this.
Yeah, there we go.
Why Sheena is broken.
How Sheena got to be the way she is.
You got to get your groove back.
There you go.
No, it's all good. It's all good. How important is comedy in real estate? I'm not comedy per se, but a sense of humor.
Yeah, I mean, I think a sense of humor just helps in all aspects of life. You know, I shouldn't say you can't take everything too seriously, but it helps establish a rapport with people. I like people to be laughing, especially when, you know, we might be losing some deals, you know, when there's 37 offers on the table, if, you know, we're not going to be the winning one. I like to try to keep it kind of lighthearted. Just at least be smiling through the process. Keep them laughing. I like showings to be fun, not this grueling process, especially when it's really hot out or it's raining or we're driving what seems like all over the city to find something. I like it to be fun for them, and I tend to make friends during the process and that sort of thing. Every once in a while, you get somebody that there's no joking here. Yeah. Like, they just have no sense of humor. Like, I remember this lady in the middle of the pandemic. I was like, you know what? Everybody needs a little levity. And I wore this bright yellow Hawaiian shirt with flamingos on it. And I had, like, just, like, gemstone studded glasses.
Classic.
I just thought it was fun, you know, like, welcome to Florida. Yeah. We're jazzy and we're crazy. She did not think that was funny. She looked at me like, what kind of garage sale did you rob to pick out your outfit? And then I felt awkward the whole time, and I can't, like, undo the outfit.
Ooh, yeah. Waka, waka, waka.
I picked the wrong lady to try to entertain.
Now, I was going to ask if you've ever met anyone you couldn't make laugh in a comedy setting.
I mean, in a comedy setting, yeah. I mean, if you think you've never bombed, you're either haven't been doing it long enough or you're lying. I just bombed a horrible gig in Gainesville a couple weeks ago. Yes. We drove more hours than there were people in the audience. And so, like, silence catches fire just like laughter, right? So if it's awkward for the three people sitting there and they all want to leave, right? But there's only three of you, so you can't be the guy who gets up and walks out and leaves us with nobody. So at the end of the show, I just thank them for enduring and staying and making us at least able to tell jokes to somebody.
And let's all go to Denny's.
Yeah, I guess.
Do you record your shows?
You know, I really should do it more often. I don't.
You're on YouTube, right? I've seen your stuff on YouTube.
I've taken nearly everything off YouTube.
Oh, really? Why?
Yeah, because people were telling me that, like, my stuff on YouTube was not a good representation of my live show. And it bothered me so deeply that I deleted everything. Everybody who posted, there's only one left. There's one horrible set from about 9 years ago that's still on YouTube, and I'm working hard to get it down. But I finally got a good professional video from one of my shows, and I'm going to cut that one up and I think put little clips on.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to revamp. I'm going into my 10th year, and I've done virtually no like YouTube and social media and all that sort of thing. So I'm trying to, I guess, get with the program. I hate social media, but it's a necessary evil.
Yeah. You know what I like to do when somebody isn't responding to my humor? I'll say, okay, that's it. I'm throwing down to you now. Let's have a staring contest. And eventually they will laugh.
You know what sometimes I do? If I'm noticeably bombing for more than 10 minutes, I will tell the audience that if they hear a joke that they don't find funny, to just boo me. Just outright, just boo me as loud as you can. And then that way, at least I'm going down with some kind of dignity. And that has sometimes turned it around. Mm.
Hey, do you ever joke about the pandemic, COVID, or is that too sensitive?
Not really. I mean,
Or even the situation that COVID creates. It's just gotten hack.
Everybody's talking about it, and it's really not that funny. Like, ugh, yeah, all right. Yeah. We all got sick, or some people think it's just so, people are very touchy.
Yeah. You got to acknowledge it somehow, though, right?
A little bit.
Maybe you can talk about...
I don't want to give the beginning of my show away, so I'm trying to...
Gotcha.
I'm trying to lead you off the question.
Okay, so people can go and see you. That's a good point.
That would be nice.
Do your live shows.
I hate when people are like, tell us a quick joke. It's like, how about you buy a quick ticket? That's, we are working. You know what I mean? You don't do that in any other profession. Like, you're a dancer. Give me a little move. Bust a little move there.
Yeah.
You know? So I always encourage people to come to shows. That's also another reason I don't put stuff on YouTube anymore. I'm like,
what? Competing with yourself.
Well, people will watch everything on YouTube and then complain that your set was the same as it was on YouTube. It's like, I don't know why you sat there all afternoon watching all these clips right before you came to the show.
You ruined all the jokes for yourself.
Yeah, I guess. Until I have multiple hours.
You tend to see like other comedians where they put the older stuff on, but not the newer stuff.
So yeah, it's like, exactly.
It's not competing with yourself.
That's exactly it.
But I would save your archives, at least save them somewhere.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to put some up at a later time, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
Yeah, someday the Smithsonian or somebody will want them.
Yeah, I doubt
for
it.
For the exhibit. You know, who knows? Things could break.
You start getting those HBO specials and stuff. They're going
to
want them.
You're open to a big career in comedy, right?
I mean, I'll take the call. Let's see what happens.
But that's not your goal, what you're pursuing.
It's really hard to say. I kind of borderline being a workaholic. So only working at night a couple days a week, I don't find very fulfilling. Like, I need things to do all day. Like, I like to work a full day. I like to work hard. I also like to make money. So comedy, your goal cannot be to make money. Mm-hmm. If it happens, it happens. But that can't be the goal. Because it doesn't happen for a really long time.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Do men and women laugh at the same things?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it depends on the comedian, really. There's some female comedians I know that really target women humor, and their husbands are miserable at the shows. But I would say, I'm like reeling through my set. I think for the most part.
How about, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for the most part, I'm not writing for women or for men. I'm just writing for funny. Sure.
Now, how about in a real estate setting, in a business setting where you're showing a house and maybe it strikes you that it's appropriate to cut up a little bit? Does the male or the female, if there are one of each in the party, tend to respond better to that?
It depends. It's person by person. I've had some where the wife is very, very serious and the husband is always joking or, you know, not taking things very seriously. And I've had it completely the other way around where she and I are best friends and he's suspicious about everything and everything is water damage and, you know, this sort of thing. So it depends. It's person by person.
What's the funniest moment you've had in conducting real estate business?
The funniest. Oh, man.
Where even you were laughing, maybe, or caused someone to laugh.
Oh, my gosh. I bet I do have a couple good stories. I'm on the spot, so it's hard to think. Give me just 10 seconds to think this through. The funniest thing that's happened in real estate, because there's been some...
Start playing that Jeopardy theme.
Sheena has her index finger, her left index finger to her chin, and she's looking at the ceiling.
Very pensive.
I always say in my set, I'm stroking this very thick broom bristle-like hair on the side of my face that just shot out of there on my 30th birthday. That's my thinking hair.
Yeah.
And I just wiggle it back and forth while I'm thinking.
Yeah, you can get that lanced at my dermatologist.
Right, lanced. Jim, I want to tell you the funniest thing that's ever happened in real estate.
You'll think of it on the way home and you'll laugh.
And I'll call back into your next podcast. I'll be like, get Jim and Jerry on the phone right now. I got to say something.
We'll put it in the show description. How's that? Yeah, that's fair enough. Now, we're now at the point of the show, Sheena, where we are going to go into my actual favorite part of the show. We've been doing this for 2.5 years. You were the first guest of about 100 to do this, and you're going to do it again because while I did my homework, my dog ate it, so I don't remember your answers from the last show. So this is called the lightning round. And this is the part where it's a tough day for Jerry because he has to get up super early on show days and drive out from his beautiful home in Cape Coral and goes up to North Fort Myers where we have the questions for today's lightning round written down on official 3x5 game show host cards. And they're stuck in a super box at a secret location in North Fort Myers. Jerry went out this morning at about 4:30.
Jim, I get up at 3 a.m.
You get up. You get up at 3.
But I'm lucky if I'm out the door by 3:30.
3:30 leaves the house.
By the time I find the super box, it's about 4.
He just made it back, and it's about lunchtime now. So he's got the Jerry. Do you have the questions?
First I got to get him out of the box. Sheena can see the box right
now. Wow,
super box. Yeah, he's opening it now. Jerry's not real quick with the Supra technology, but he's working on it.
Here's your cards.
Get that. I've got the cards. I have the cards.
Okay.
They're all here. 3, 4. Okay, got them. Okay, Sheena, awesome. We're looking for soundbite answers. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
Just like last time. So I'm going to run through the lightning round questions right now. Where would you live if not in Florida?
Texas.
Pineapple with pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, good.
Especially with bacon. Ooh. Or pepperoni.
Or ham.
Ham's, I like the salty next to the sweet.
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Bacon and pineapple, perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I don't know why that's controversial. Don't eat it if you don't like it.
I know.
People are people. What's the funniest movie you ever saw?
Oh, my gosh. You know what my favorite one is right now? Anger Management with Adam Sandler and Jack Nicholson.
Oh, yes. I saw it a long time ago, I think.
It's so funny. I just rewatched it not long ago, and it just cracks me up.
I'll add that to my list. What's your dream car?
Ooh, I'm not really a car person, so I don't know. Just I drive a Saturn, so anything but the Saturn.
Okay.
Anything else will do. A bicycle, a horse.
That's fair. All right. This one may require a little bit of thought, but don't overthink it. What's the funniest word you use in your act?
Ooh, wow. What a load. Jim, you're blowing my mind with the comedy questions because those are called buzzwords. And buzzwords are super important to comedy and they have to be well-timed. Oh, one of them is inappropriate.
Do they have to have a K? A K sound, that comedy K sound that comedians talk about?
No.
Doesn't have to have a K.
Who told you that?
It's an old school thing.
Oh,
Jim does deep dives when he researches.
It was on the interwebs.
A K sound, the funniest word in my set. I'm not sure, but my boyfriend says all the time that I overuse the phrase willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
He said everything to you is willy-nilly. I was like, well, that's the market, baby.
Yeah, that's a phrase that does not make it way into my vocabulary very often, but I may pick that up.
There you go. Bringing back willy-nilly.
It's comedy gold right there.
Yes,
okay, which celebrity, Sheena, have you been told you resemble?
Natalie Portman.
Ah,
I can see that.
Can you?
Yeah, a little bit.
I saw her two nights ago in a movie called Closer. Closer. I'm not even sure how you pronounce it, with Julia Roberts.
Well, this is a real estate podcast, so we're going to say Closer.
Closer.
Right? Yeah, Closer.
This is what we're going to call it.
I saw her recently in V for Vendetta.
Ah.
Have you guys seen the film?
I have.
Do you like it?
I did.
Oh, I found it to be painfully boring.
Really?
I did.
I found it to be, I don't know, I just, something about the guy's voice and the way he spoke and, yeah, just interesting.
I think the concept was there, but it just, I
think you have
like
a frame
film.
Of mind when you go watch something like that, too.
Totally.
Like you watch this kind of movie where you watch it one night, you love it, and next night you're like going,
That could be.
Maybe
it popped me out.
I thought it was really interesting. Yeah.
Well, where are you with Black Swan?
Oh, that was weird.
Yeah.
That was weird. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I remember it creeped me out a little bit, but... all right, on to the next lightning round question. So, okay. Natalie Portman, I definitely see that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, what is your guilty pleasure, something you typically don't reveal?
Oh, boy. And now we're just going to put it out for my entire database of
exactly
coworkers.
The idea, yeah.
My guilty pleasure.
We won't tell anybody.
Dang, what do I like to do? I'm so boring, Jim.
Boring?
I heard she's all willy-nilly.
I'm boring. I sell houses and I tell jokes. What do I do that I don't want people to know about?
Drugs. What would your boyfriend say? Let's play the newlywed game. What would your boyfriend say is the most...
Maybe, like, I eat really terribly. Like, I don't eat healthy. Yeah. Sometimes I eat frozen macaroni and cheese like 3 days a week.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
You like
pleasure?
Fast food? You're there?
You know, I'm not a big fast food person, but I am like a frozen food person.
Like,
isn't that gross?
Like, what are you, like blizzards from Dairy Queen? That
no,
kind
I
of
like
thing?
Frozen Stouffer's macaroni and cheese. I like frozen pizzas.
Oh, like cooked after
taquitos.
You cook them.
Yeah, I'm not eating just frozen.
These are not frozen
ice
treats.
Ice cold food.
Okay.
Jim, yeah, that, so
what an
funny
image. Just pull it out of the freezer and bite into a frozen
that
pizza.
That would be weird.
I'm not that sophisticated. I don't know.
That's why all my teeth are chipped.
Well, tell me about some of your favorite things here, Sheena.
Okay.
Your favorite sport as a participant.
Honking my horn.
Love that. And as a viewer.
I like to watch football.
Okay. Your favorite sitcom.
Favorite sitcom. Ooh. Man, we're currently rewatching Seinfeld, which is there a better show that was ever written? Mm-hmm. Such a good one.
I just started rewatching it again the other day. It's funny you say that.
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite restaurant in the area to take clients from out of town to?
Ooh, I usually try to sell the water to them. So I'll take them out to Mat Lachey, like Burt's or something on the water. But my favorite restaurant in Cape Coral is a place called Gusto's. Have you been to Gusto's?
No, Gusto's is not.
It's a little hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant on Del Prado on the east side of the street. It's just in a little plaza. You have to make a reservation. The husband makes the food. The wife serves the tables.
Gusto's or Misto's?
No, Gusto's.
Okay, so there's another one, Misto's. But
yeah.
Sounds
no,
similar.
This is Gusto's. It is the best Italian food you could ever have.
Really?
Ever.
Because I'm looking for the best Italian food.
Yeah, and it's not like this commercial grade food. It's like Sicilians back there, like just cooking a meal, like they're cooking it for their family, and there's only like 12 tables in there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like this big commercial thing.
That's your Italian restaurant right there.
Mm-hmm.
They have red and white Czech tablecloths.
I think they're black. They're Chianti all black
bottles.
With little candle on there.
Nice. That's perfect. I think I'll be checking that
out.
You
really should.
Yeah. All right. I hold in my hand the last lightning round question, Sheena. You get one bucket list item. What is it?
Oh, man.
A man? What?
Oh, that's so funny. That is hilarious. Good one, Jim.
Jim's on.
That would never be on the list.
I'm just showing off for Sheena.
You know, I've got a pretty healthy bucket list. I've always wanted to go to Australia. I want to see the Northern Lights. I think Grand Canyon, though, is at the top of my list.
Yes, it is, because that's what you answered last time. This was a test.
See?
Grand Canyon. You passed the audition.
I've been wanting to go for quite some time.
Wow. Wow. Okay, that's great. So, Sheena Regan, you are a realtor, you're a comedian, and if someone out there wants to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
You just go outside and yell loudly, and hopefully I'll hear you. You can email me at sheena@mikelam.com. I guess I could throw my cell phone number out there. It's on every card I give out. It's 239-209-2805. So feel free to call, text, email. Come to a show.
Cool.
If next time I'm at the Laugh-In, if you'd like tickets.
The Laugh-In in Cape Coral?
No, Laugh-In is on College and Winkler.
College and Winkler, right near here. Yeah.
Fairly close.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. In Fort Myers, Florida, where we are right now.
Yes.
Cool. And Sheena@mikelam.com. That's M-I-K-E-L.
O-M, short for Lombardo.
M-I-K-E-L. Oh, okay. That checks out. Thank you.
There you go. It seems legit.
Thank you. He had to do the math on that one. Okay. And you can reach us here at the Royal Palmcast if you would care to, and we hope you do, by sending an email to us at shows@rpcra.com. org.
Jim, I just thought of the funniest thing happened to me in real estate.
Breaking news. Go. Hold the presses.
Okay, wait. Should we stop and you put it
back?
No,
no. Okay. We're going to roll with it.
I knew it was going to come. Okay, so we talked about virtual showings earlier, right? So yes. I was doing a virtual showing for these people, and it was out on Matt Lachey. And Matt Lachey is being totally revitalized, right? So there's houses that are being totally renoed and painted and all this sort of thing. This was not that house. This house was like barely still together. So I do the tour of the house and I go out on the dock. And as I'm on the dock, I realize it's a floating dock. So it starts moving. Yeah. And wood pieces are falling off of the dock as I'm on it. And I have a fear of heights. Like I get disoriented really easily. So I actually had to squat down and get on all fours and crawl off of the dock while still trying to video it. And one of the neighbors came out and asked if I was okay and tried to like coax me off the dock like I was a raccoon. So now that's funny.
Wow.
It wasn't at the time. I was really embarrassed. I was in my company shirt and everything, but yeah, I had to.
Is that video available now on the internet?
I think that actually is on my real estate page on YouTube.
There you go, folks. Another reason to tune into Sheena's online
that
presence.
Worth waiting for. That was pretty darn funny.
That was good. That was good. That's what you call a twist ending.
Yeah, that's right.
You think you know where the Royal Palmcast is going, and you think we're going to zig, we zag.
That's why you listen to the whole show.
That's right.
There it is.
Never know.
This is comedy gold.
It's like
right
the bloopers reel.
All right. Again, thank you, Sheena Reagan, for coming and taking some time to spend with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. See you next time.
It's our pleasure. And I want to thank you, Jerry Johnson, for running the board and being there and doing everything you do.
Oh, well, thanks, Jim. It's always so nice to hear that. And I appreciate especially your deep dives in the research in regards to Sheena and her being our first guest and bringing her back in.
And remembering the Grand Canyon thing?
Yeah.
I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, so. That's what you said last time. And I was wondering if you had been in the interim, but with the COVID.
Almost, but we chose Alaska instead. We were going to go, but we did Alaska.
You'll get there.
Nice. That's a bucket list item for a lot of people, including your boy here.
You must go.
Yeah.
You must go.
Wow. I am going. All right. So as I mentioned, you can get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast. Shoot us an email, shows@rpcra.org. And I want to thank everybody here at the Association in Fort Myers for their help and support. And we will look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.